You heard the first part of the story this morning as Wylencia read for us, and now I will share, as Paul Harvey used to say, the rest of the story. John chapter 20, beginning in verse 11. Follow along with me in your order of worship on the slide and screen or in your Bible as well. The scripture says, "Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look inside the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, 'Woman, why are you crying?' 'They have taken my Lord away,' she said, 'and I don't know where they have put him.' At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, 'Woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you are looking for?' Thinking he was the gardener, she said, 'Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him.' Jesus said to her, 'Mary.' She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, 'Rabboni,' which means teacher. Jesus said, 'Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.' Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, 'I have seen the Lord.' And she told them that he had said these things to her. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, 'Peace be with you.' After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord." May God bless the reading and the hearing of this word this morning. Young Jimmy, 5 years old, and his family went to Grandma's house for Easter Sunday lunch. Everyone was seated around the table, and they began passing the food around, filling up their plates. And as Jimmy's plate began to get filled up, he began to eat as quickly as he could. His dad said, "Whoa, wait just a minute, Jimmy. You know, we always have to ask God to bless the food before we eat." "No, we don't," said Jimmy, and he just kept right on eating. His mother said, "Jimmy, hold on just a minute. Now, you know, we always have to ask God to bless the food before we eat." Jimmy said, "No, we don't, not here." The mother said, "Why? What are you talking about?" And he said, "Well, Mom, this is Grandma's house, and she knows how to cook." Happy Easter, right? For the past several weeks, we have been talking about Easter living as we've journeyed through the Lenten season. We've been talking about, what does it mean to live a life that is an Easter life? What does it mean to live a life that is filled with God's grace? What does it mean to live a life that is the life God wants us to live, an abundant life? We've been talking about it for several weeks. We spent several weeks looking at Paul's letters and listening to what Paul had to say as he wrote to the early Christians about what Easter living looks like and feels like and how you live it. Last week, we looked at the events of Palm Sunday. We looked at the life of Jesus. And we said God is with us even in the darkest moments of life. Even then, Easter living. This morning, we focus on abundant life. Our text for this morning is familiar. Jesus has died. Mary Magdalene goes to the tomb to pay her respects with some others. The day before this was Saturday. It was the Sabbath. So this day, Sunday, was the first day that they had the opportunity to go to the tomb and to care for the body. The women were going to pay their respects to care for Jesus' body. But when Mary arrives at the tomb with the others to go in, they notice something unusual. The large stone that had been covering the tomb had been rolled away. What did that mean? They look inside. There was no body. What happened to Jesus' body? Well, she has a conversation with someone. She doesn't know it's Jesus. But when he says her name, Mary, she recognizes him as her Lord. And he tells her to go back and tell all the others, "I am alive," Jesus said. Go back and tell them, Jesus is not dead, he is risen. That is the story we celebrate today. That is the foundation of our faith. That is what brings us together on Easter Sunday morning. Jesus is not dead. He is risen. But we already know that. That's why we are here this morning. The good news of Easter is what we know to be true. And that is because Jesus was resurrected, one day, through our faith, we will go to be with heaven. We will go to be with God in heaven for all eternity. One day, we too will be resurrected. We will be with God in heaven for all eternity. That is what we celebrate and know to be the truth of Easter Sunday morning. But what about right now? One day, we will get to go to heaven, be with God forever for all eternity. But what about right now? What difference does Easter Sunday make in our lives today? How does Easter Sunday change the way we live now? Let me ask you this morning on this Easter Sunday, what is the greatest need in your life today? As you sit here on Easter Sunday morning in this worship service, worshiping God on Easter Sunday, 2023, what is the greatest need in your life today? One day, through faith, you'll go to heaven, but what about today? Let me ask it this way. What would make your life today abundant? What about a passion for life? What about a desire to live with meaning and purpose every single day? What about an intense, meaningful mission for your life? What about finding something in life that makes it different than just getting through another day? What about energy and passion rather than exhaustion and weariness? Max Lucado, a well-known Christian writer, describes how so many people live today. Listen to his words. He writes, "We are tired. A tired people, a tired generation, a tired society. We race, we run. Work days drag like Arctic winters. Monday mornings show up on Sunday evenings. We slug our way through long lines and long hours with faces made long by the long list of things we need to do, gadgets we need to buy, people we have to try to please. Everything needs our attention. The government wants more taxes. Our boss wants more hours. Our spouse and family need more attention. Our schools want more volunteers. Our parents need us to visit and to care for them more. And then there's God and the church. He's right. Our whole way of thinking, all the messages we often receive day in and day out, they tell us the exact same thing, and that is this: you have to be good enough. You have to do more. You need to give more. You need to be more. You need to try harder. You need to work harder. And all of those things are not bad. We should strive to be the very best person we can possibly be. We should try to do our very best in all that we do. But here's the point, and we cannot miss it on Easter Sunday. Our attempts to be good enough, to try harder, to work harder, to be the best we can be, they will not save us. Those attempts will not give us abundant life. And when we live life with these expectations, we are constantly asking this question: how good is good enough? How good do I have to be to earn God's favor? How good do I have to be? How hard do I have to try to receive and live an abundant life? You see, here's the irony. In part, that is why we are so tired. We are trying to do that which is impossible. We are trying to be good enough that we save ourselves. As one person has written, we sometimes find it easier to trust the miracle of resurrection than the miracle of abundant life, the miracle of grace. So we try to save ourselves. And we end up tired and exhausted, slugging our way through life. That is not abundant life. That is futility. No one wants to live that way. But here's the good news of Easter Sunday. We don't have to live that way. In fact, it's even better. God doesn't want us to live that way. If Jesus is alive, life can be different. That's what Jesus told Mary to tell the disciples. If Jesus is alive, life can be different. In other words, we don't have to wait until we die to claim Christ's presence in our lives. We can experience it now. We don't have to live without that power that is greater than death. We can have access to it every single day. We don't have to wait to experience the blessings of eternal life. Those blessings, that grace, that abundant life can be ours right now. Another person has written these words, and they are so poignant. They write, "The good life, the one that truly satisfies, it exists only when we stop wanting a better life. It is the condition of savoring what is rather than what might be. The itch for things, the lust for more, is a virus draining our souls of commitment and contentment and ultimately of life itself." Have you ever noticed, the person writes, we never earn enough money. We never look good enough. Clothes are never fashionable enough. Cars are never nice enough. Gadgets are never modern enough. Houses are never furnished enough. Food is never fancy enough. Houses are never furnished enough. And relationships are never romantic enough. Life is never full enough. Satisfaction comes only when we step off of the escalator of desire. And we say, this is enough. The life God has given to me through faith, it is enough. And what I make of my life through the grace that God gives to me, that is abundant life. On Easter Sunday morning, Mary Magdalene learned the three greatest words the world has ever heard. He is risen. Those three words have echoed through the history of this world. But on Easter Sunday morning, here's the truth. Those three words come alive within us again and again and again. They come alive within us because resurrection happens inside of us. When we let God begin a new work within us, that's Easter living. That is abundant life. You know, maybe you hear these words this morning and you think, well, that sounds good, but that's not possible for me. Grace is not possible for me. Abundant life is not possible for me. I'm sure it works for some people here, but you don't know me. You don't know what my situation in life is. I can't live an abundant life. I've gone as far as I can go. I've hit the ceiling. I've passed my peak. I read that two caterpillars were crawling across the grass, and they looked up in the air, and a butterfly flew over their heads. One caterpillar said to the other, "You couldn't get me up in one of those things for $1 million. They were about to become that. They were about to become the very thing that they couldn't believe they saw. The good news of Easter, here it is. God would die for your sins before God let you die in your sin. God would die for your sins before God would allow you to die in your sin. See, God knows all about every sin you've ever committed, every lie you've ever told, every person you've ever hurt, every dollar you've ever taken that wasn't yours, every promise you've ever broken, every virtue you've ever abandoned, every opportunity that you have squandered, every deed you committed against God. God knows those things better than you know them yourself. And God still would die for your sins before God would let you die in those sins. Henry David Thoreau once wrote, "I went into the woods because I wished to live deliberately and see if I could learn what life had to teach." And here it is. "And not when I come to die, discover that I had never lived." If I should die before I live, what could be more tragic for any of us? And by living, we're not talking about longevity. We're talking about a quality of life. We're talking about the experience of grace, forgiveness, and abundant life every day. Mark Twain said, "Let us so live that when we die, even the undertaker will be sorry. Even people who don't know us will look at us and say, that person lived." The man was lying on his floor crying in desperation. It was late at night. He was by himself. There was no joy. There was no happiness. There was no sense of purpose in his life. Life felt empty, confusing, lonely. All he could do, he had already done. He was at the end of his rope. It felt like there was nothing left. So that night, lying on his floor in desperation, the man cried out to God, "Lord, what do you want from me? What do you want from me?" He said the answer came clearly and succinctly. It was as if God was speaking to him directly, audibly, out loud. He said he heard God say, "I just want you. Just you. I don't want your attempts to be good. I don't want your promises. I don't want your compromises. I don't even want your good intentions. All I want is you. John Stott says, faith's only function is to receive what grace offers. Let me say that differently. Abundant life, the only requirement to receive it and live it is to accept through faith the life God wants you to live. The only requirement is to accept and believe. So this morning on Easter Sunday, receive the good news. God wants to do a new thing in your life. God wants to put you in new clothes. God wants to give you a new outlook. God wants to give you a new perspective on life. And my friends, that is Easter living. That is abundant life. And all we have to do is believe it and accept it. So as the scripture says, and now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we could ever ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to God be the glory in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Join me as we pray. Good and gracious God, on this Easter Sunday morning, we are grateful for so many blessings, but especially today, as we celebrate the resurrection, we give thanks that you make resurrection and abundant life possible for each one of us every day. Lord, as we slug through the weariness and tiredness of life, give us faith to see and believe and eyes to accept and to hold and hearts to believe that you want us to live abundantly. So lead us and guide us in those ways, for we pray in the precious and holy name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.